Book of 1 John tonight. I know we were there on Sunday, but we're going to go to chapter 1 tonight. 1 John chapter 1, and I think we're going to read the whole chapter. There's Sergi. Is that Sergi back there? And we're going to start in the KJV. 1 John chapter 1. Anybody here, don't raise your hand. Afraid of the dark? I'm not going to call it any names. Maybe you're not afraid. Maybe you're not, you wouldn't call yourself afraid of the dark, but maybe you just don't like the dark. Anybody here that way? You're like you're not fearful of it, but you're just not, you'd rather go out when it's daytime. Any kids here have difficulty taking the trash out past 6 o'clock at night right now? And it's not even, you know, in the city, it's not even really dark out. I mean, there's so many street lights and so many houses. Where I grew up, it was dark. You know, when Dad said, go get some wood from the woodshed, oh, dear Jesus, let all the bears and monsters and... It was dark, and I knew skunks lived in that woodshed, in our wood pile. I did not want to run into the skunk in the dark. And so no, there's something, and it's not all of us. I know some people, Brother Kendrick works with a group of people like this. They'd rather be in the dark than in the light. I go into some of these offices nowadays, and it is a war between me, the lighting guy, and the people who work there who want them off. They'd just as well be happy if they could have all the lights off all the time and the only glow was from their two computer screens. That's all they want. But for some of us, there is this almost natural born repulsion to the dark. You know, some of us, our body chemistry is different, and for some of us, I was talking to my wife yesterday on the way home. I said, it's 3:30 in the afternoon, and it looks like it's almost dark. And, of course, it was stormy. But for some of us, as the days get shorter, it gets darker earlier, and the days are darker longer. We're ready to go to Arizona or something. Like, it's just in our makeup. We just kind of, we're repulsed by darkness. That's physical darkness. Let's talk about spiritual darkness. What are some of the things that come to mind when someone says the term spiritual darkness? What's some terms that come to mind? Spiritual darkness. Maybe music. Maybe entertainment. Maybe a certain individual who just seems to have darkness. They're just kind of a dark person. Maybe they talk about death all the time, and you know, I don't know. I don't necessarily tend to think, or I haven't historically thought in the terms of darkness, quote unquote. My wife from time to time will tell me, boy, that's really dark. And then I'll step back and look at it and go, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. She's more attuned or spiritually aware of potential darkness in a scenario. And we can hear a song, or she can see something, or she can even be around someone, and we can walk away from a situation, she can say, man, there's something spiritually dark on them. It's caused me to be more aware of those kinds of things. But darkness, spiritual darkness, is all around us in the world that we're in today, and you see it, widespread. You see it everywhere that you go, and I'm not here tonight to pinpoint what the source of that spiritual darkness is in people. I do believe that there is very much a spiritual darkness that is carried via the spirit of music. You look at individuals who are involved in the music industry nowadays, and the things that they've given themselves to. There is serious spiritual darkness associated with certain types of music. There are people who give themselves to that kind of music. They pump it into their headphones. They pump it into their brain, into their spirit. And you know, as the old saying is, garbage in, garbage out. If you're all you're putting in is darkness into your spirit, if all you're feeding yourself is darkness, then there's going to be a spirit of darkness that permeates from your life, from your communication, from your actions. I don't identify with, I find it very difficult to identify with some of the kids, I'm gonna call them children, kids, teenagers of this generation, who you see them in the shopping centers and the malls, and they're just, they got a term for them. They're called goth. But they usually have their nails painted black and their faces painted white, and they usually got a black trench coat on and some black, you know, Doc Martin, you know, knee-high boots on, and they're just, they got some black tights on, or if they're a boy, they got black jeans on, and they're, you know, and they're traipsing through the mall, and their hair's dyed black, jet black, you know, and you're just like, there's something dark about that. You know, I've had encounters with people whose kids have lived that lifestyle, and they, you know, the kids say, well, you just don't understand me. I'm just trying to be myself. And they're like, I don't know what to do with my kid. There's some sort of spiritual darkness associated with that. I can't explain it. I don't know what they give themselves to, but there is some sort of spiritual darkness associated with that. And it's so obvious when you have encounters, you see these people, you pass them on the street or in the store, and you're like, the Holy Ghost inside you can't help but stare. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I'm talking about there's something that's there in their spirit that your heart is wrenched for them. Your heart is broken for them. Let's read these verses here. The writer here talks significantly about darkness and light. We're going to start in the KJV. We're going to read all 10 verses, if that's okay. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is important. A couple other translations put some more importance on this. We're going to get into this tonight. But pay attention to this word fellowship, this word communication one with another. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The word joy and the word darkness don't coincide. People that are full of joy, joyful people, generally don't have any darkness associated with them. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I'm just going to read to you quickly here from the Amplified Bible and then from the New Living Translation. He says, I'm in the Amplified now. He says, I am writing about what existed from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the one who existed even before the beginning of the world, Christ. And the life and aspect of his being was manifested, and we have seen it as eyewitnesses and testify and declare to you the life, the eternal life, who was already existing with the Father and was actually made visible to us, his followers. What we have seen and heard, we also proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship as partners with us. And indeed, our fellowship, which is a distinguishing mark of born-again believers, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things to you so that our joy in seeing you included may be made complete by having you share in the joy of salvation. This is the message of God's promised revelation, which we have heard from him and now announce to you, that God is light. He is holy, his message is truthful, he is perfect in righteousness, and in him there is no darkness at all, no sin, no wickedness, no imperfection. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness of sin, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we really walk in the light that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God as he himself in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, he with us and we with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. Now, I'm quickly going to jump in the New Living Translation. He says there, we're jumping down into verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves. Everybody say, only fooling myself. We are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. Now, the scripture says in three different translations, three different ways, that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Everybody say, no darkness. That means zero. There's no trace of darkness in God. He is light. Now, in the natural sense, I'm not talking about sunlight, because sunlight was created by God and it's perfect. Man does everything that he possibly can to try to replicate sunlight. And all of the architects and engineers and scientists of the world today who work in the production of light, they are attempting in some way, shape, or form to reproduce light, the sunlight, because it's the perfect light. It causes your clothes, it can cause you to see color perfectly. It illuminates things perfectly. There's nothing more perfect than natural sunlight. But in the man-made manufacturing of light, especially with the introduction of, everybody know what an LED is? You got probably got an LED flashlight, you got little LEDs in your car dashboard. In the introduction of LEDs, man has had to recreate light through phosphors. And even the brightest, whitest light there is manufactured by man today in the world of LED contains a lot of the color blue. That's how they make it. And so in the process of creating natural light, there is darkness infused into light. And the two coexist to create
this.
The light bulb that's in that fixture today, that can that's up there in the ceiling, has got a filament in it. And that filament is made up of all kinds of crazy metals and gases and all kinds of different things that cover all the color spectrums. And it doesn't cover all of them because that's old technology, but it covers a certain part of the color spectrum of a color chart. And that produces what we see as something that's nice. The lighting in here is comfortable, isn't it? It's comfortable. Nobody walked in tonight and said, oh my goodness, turn the lights down. Boy, I don't want to go to that surgical suite, church. Nobody likes going to the doctor, you know, when they go in and they want to look at something on your body, or you go into the emergency room and those lights are, they turn them on. They want to see something. They got light, and boy, it blinds you, and that's uncomfortable, but this is comfortable. And that's my concern with our world today, is that they've become very comfortable with mixing lightness or light with darkness to try to provide a comfort zone. That looks good, that feels good, that's comfortable to everybody. Right. But the scripture says that in God, those that are true believers in Christ, those that have been born of Him, those that are in, according to the scripture, fellowship. That's not my word, that's the scripture's word. Those that are in fellowship with Him, in that God, in Christ Jesus, there is no darkness. He is the light. He is the light that shineth in darkness. What's the scripture say in John chapter 1? The darkness what does it say? The darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world. The world was made by him. Where are all the Bible quizzes? If I quote the whole chapter, I can quote it. I've been so long out of Bible quizzing, I can't pull it out. But if you want me to quote the whole chapter, I can, and we can get there. That's the NLT? Okay. So the light of God, God's light, that perfect light, it shines into darkness. And darkness can't extinguish it. You know, I love these little flashlights now that they sell. You don't see this as much now as when LEDs first came out. Can be seen up to 1 mile. What were they trying to say? Darkness has a hard time extinguishing this one. The reality is if there was only left in the world, Brother Tom's, one single little flashlight, and you turned it on right here in Puyallup and you shined it towards Seattle, you're probably not going to see that light in Seattle. Because at some point it loses its luster. There's not enough lumens in it. There's not enough output in it to penetrate all the darkness between here and there. But God's light, the true light, that light of the world, that light, the darkness, it shines through the darkness, and the darkness can't extinguish it. But we have this phenomenon in our world today that's this attempt at, let's get a little bit of darkness, because a little bit of darkness is okay. We got enough light over here to balance it out. We put enough white and enough blue and enough yellow and enough red together, and this is comfortable. This is a comfortable gospel. This is what the writer was talking about. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, you got to the point where you mix so much stuff together that it becomes a comfortable gospel. Then the writer goes on to say, if we say we have fellowship, if we proclaim I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. I've been talking to the Lord. I spend time every day in prayer. Me and the Lord are talking. Yet there's darkness in me. I have involvement with darkness. Well, how would you have involvement with darkness? I don't know, maybe by what I listen to, what I participate in, what I watch. There's some dark, dark junk out there that we can allow into our spirits through our eyes, through our ears. Be careful. Be careful what you watch, because it could be imparting darkness into your spirit. And the scripture says that if I say, I'm in the light, I have fellowship with the light, but yet I participate and walk in just a little bit. I'm not swimming in the darkness, Brother Lindsay. I'm just dipping my toe in every now and then. He says, you're fooling yourselves. You're lying to yourself. And the truth isn't in you. Then he takes it a step further. And he says, when we're all in the light, when we're all fellowshipping with the Lord, it's a three-part fellowship. He says, when we're in the light as he is in the light, and we're fellowshipping with him, then we have fellowship one with another. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've heard people say, well, you know, I just don't have enough fellowship. You've probably heard somebody complain that to you at some point. I just don't feel like I get enough fellowship. I just don't feel like anybody likes me. I don't feel like there's anybody who wants to talk to me. After I read these scriptures the last couple days, I had those words playing over and over in my mind. I thought, well, the scripture says that if I'm in fellowship with the light and I'm in fellowship with him, then I'm just automatically going to be in fellowship with you. And so if I don't have fellowship with you and I don't feel a fellowship, I'm not talking about like, hey, man, what's up? But, you know, like, there's a spirit connection. The Spirit of God connection. We talked a little bit about that on Sunday. The Spirit of God that's resident in me. There's a witness in the fellowship. You know, there's some people I fellowship with. I shouldn't say fellowship. I enter into conversation with born again believers. And I leave and I think, Lord have mercy, what just happened? What did I just interact with? Lord, cleanse me. I don't want this in my spirit. I don't, the stuff I just heard, you think I'm crazy? Bishop was telling me a story the other day about somebody who sat down and talked to him at a meeting, a church meeting. No, nobody here in this room. A man sat down and talked to him in a church meeting, and he said, I literally, just 2 minutes in the conversation, I literally had to shut it off. I had to sit there and listen for his sake, but I had to shut it off because I did not want what he was saying in my spirit. That's real. Be careful what you're fellowshipping, because if you're fellowshipping light, you have fellowship with the light, but you sit down to have fellowship with a brother or sister, so-called brother or sister in Christ, and there's not a flow of fellowship. There's no spirit flow in between you, and what they're saying is not registering with your spirit and is actually hurting your spirit. Take caution. That might not be light, their fellowship, and it might be darkness. And his light and darkness don't coexist. His light overtakes that darkness. I didn't look this up. This just scripture came to me, and I apologize for not looking it up, but as we were driving down here tonight, the scripture that says, what fellowship hath light with darkness? What Why would light want to hang out with dark? Let's see. You don't wash lights and darks together? Nobody likes that in-between part of the morning. Nobody likes that in-between part of the night. What do they say? It's the hardest to see at dusk. Because why is it hard to see? Because it's not light yet. But it's not dark either. It's just a little bit of both. And you're, anybody who's ever hunted has tried to put horns on stuff in the early morning hours. What is it? It's hard to see. It's impossible. That's what happens. It brings confusion when light and dark try to intertwine, try to intermix. Oh, look at those guys back there. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Going back to 1 John. Now, we've talked about the three parts of fellowship. If we have fellowship with the light, we have fellowship with him, and we're living in the light, we're not living in darkness, then we're going to have fellowship one with another. Now he says that we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. There comes a point in our daily lives because we work in darkness, we live in darkness, we interact with darkness on a daily basis. It's just reality. Unfortunately, we don't live in this room. We all leave here and we go to our separate lives, and some of us go to situations that are much, much worse than others. Some of us go to great situations. Some of us have great working environments. Some of us have terrible working environments. Some of us have great family dynamics. Others of us have terrible family. All of us come from different backgrounds. And all of us on a daily basis interact with darkness. Now, you can jump in a pond full of slime and think you're going to come out clean. But the reality is you jump in a pond full of scum. When you crawl out, there's going to be scum on your clothes. Whether or not you like it or not. That's just the reality. And the world that we live in is a pond full of scum. Called sin, called darkness. And our interaction, the process of time and the process of our lives in this world, things attach themselves to us. It's amazing to me. I can be having the best day in the world. I can go in and out of three or four different offices and buildings in a 20-block radius in Tacoma and start feeling heavy and depressed. Feel a spirit of heaviness on me. And I'll even call my wife, or I'll check in after lunch or something, and she'll say, "Are you all right?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, you don't sound like you're all right." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She can tell that there's a darkness that's attached itself to me just by going in and out of places associated with darkness where people are living in darkness, fellowshipping darkness. It's a matter of life. We all work on jobs where we hear, we got to listen to a Deathmates talk radio or favorite radio station or their XM or their Pandora or their whatever they listen to. And that music infiltrates us. Conversations that we overhear and conversations that we find ourselves engaged in can infiltrate us. It's slime that gets on us. You know, I'm not one that likes being dirty. In fact, when I was a kid, we'd go out. My dad and I would go out and we'd ride dirt bikes and quads, and we'd have a good time and go ride through the mud. And I reached a point where I was done. I was just done. You get so muddy, you get so wet, you're just done. And I would just, my dad would be out, he'd be having a good time. And my dad is the opposite of me. My dad, he can wear soaking wet, dirty, muddy clothes all day long, and he is just fine. I worked with my dad for about 10 years, starting from the age of about 7 years old till I was about 16 or 17 years old. I worked for my dad in his janitorial company. He washed the exterior of buildings with power washers and hoses and all that. I did that with him. That was the family business. It's how my dad supported himself outside of ministry. And so, you know, I worked. That was part of my responsibility as a son, was to go out and help him. And a lot of what we did was in weather like you walked into church in tonight. Because these big commercial buildings and apartment complexes that we washed, they didn't want us there in the summer when everyone was outside. They wanted us there in the wintertime when everyone was inside, all their flowers were inside, we weren't going to kill anything, and we could work around, and nobody was there to bother us. We would work in torrential downpour all day long, and my dad would just, he'd be soaking wet. He'd just be out there working like nothing was wrong. I'd bring a change of clothes so I could change at lunch because I hated being wet and cold. I hate that. I hate that feeling. So we'd get out. We'd ride dirt bikes. I'd get in the mud. I just reached a point where I was done. You can ride all day long if you want, but I'm going home and I'm taking a shower and I'm getting this junk off me. And sometimes I think we need to take a similar approach to the world. Don't let that junk ride on you in the car all the way home. Whatever darkness is just by the process of time and life attached itself to you, why you've interacted with it throughout the day, don't let it hang on you. This is the importance of having fellowship with the light and staying in fellowship with the light. Because if I'm in daily fellowship with the light, then when I'm fellowshipping the light, I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm talking to the Lord, darkness can't hang around where that light is. So some darkness can attach itself to me, but as soon as I enter into fellowship with the light, boom, darkness is gone. Somebody says something to me that starts to make me depressed or feel anxious, I can begin to fellowship the light. That's gone. The reason it stays around and the reason it haunts me is because I'm not fellowshipping light. The longer I let it hang around, the more effect it has on my life. Let's stand tonight. I want to be in the light. I want his light shining through me. In the Gospels, he said, you're a city that set on a hill that can't be hid. Jesus, I thank you, Father, for this great gospel that you've entrusted to us. In a dark world, Father, you have made us light. You've made us salt, Father. You've put us here to bring change. I pray in the name of Jesus, through the process of time, Father, as we interact with our world on a daily basis, I pray, Father, that we would stay in daily fellowship with you. Let us stay in daily fellowship with the light, Father. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, next Wednesday night.